Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Waste Matters on the Air, the show that delves into issues around waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Beth Myers-Shinai, a waste reduction coordinator with Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with my guest, Larice Riddle, organizer of the Cherry City Food Swappers. And we'll be getting to our interview with Larice in just a moment, but first I want to go over our announcements and kind of lead into our topic today with some other issues around bartering and swapping. First, I just want to remind everyone again, we still have our Master Recycler class registration open. It closes August 1st, so if you've been thinking about really learning about what happens to waste in Marion County, how you can recycle all you can, how you can prevent waste, most importantly, this is the class for you. And it takes place over 7 weeks, starting on September 4th, every Thursday evening. And then there are some weekend field trips as well that are really eye-opening. The field trips are a lot of fun. If you've always wanted to take this Master Recycler class, but it's always a conflict for you, maybe Thursday nights is another regular commitment. There is an online option called Recycle 101. It's not an official Master Recycler class, but it's an online class through OSU Extension. And you pay a small fee, but you have access to all sorts of great videos, often of some of the same places that the class goes to. So you can really learn everything that you would learn in the Master Recycler class, at least the basic topics. And going into topics for today, as we talk about swapping and bartering and trading things, this is a really key way to reduce waste, because people who barter and swap are usually not buying something new. They're looking for someone who has something that's not needed anymore, trading for it. And so we're going to delve into a little bit about that topic here before we go into the interview. I first wanted to share with you there's an advocacy group that that helps promote the sharing economy, which is kind of what we call when we share and swap and barter and don't use regular cash to meet our needs. And it's not just things. It could be your time or services, things like that. And it's called peers.org. So if you're really interested in what you're hearing today, beyond just the specific topic of food swapping, but you really are interested in how the sharing economy fits into our modern society, I would suggest going and checking out their website and seeing what you could do to help promote that as well. Now, I live in Silverton, and I'm a active participant on our Facebook page. They're called Silverton Connections. And there are many Facebook groups like this out there, but it's a really key way you can connect with your community and kind of know what people have, what they need to get rid of. Sometimes just getting advice on who's a good chimney sweep in town, and you'd be amazed at what kinds of information can pour out from the community, both positive and negative, to help you make decisions and to help you find things that you need or for you to get rid of the things you need. So I'd really encourage everybody, if you're connected on Facebook, to look around for those kinds of groups if you want to find an easy way to meet those needs. Now, I've also participated in a naked lady party, which sounds a little racy, but it's actually just a clothing swap. And that's something that you can just organize with your friends, some acquaintances, maybe a dozen or so of you. Just decide on what night you're going to bring all the clothes you don't want anymore, things maybe you are ready to donate or give away anyway, and then kind of sort them out on tables by size and take a minute to look at everything and then just start grabbing the things that look like they might fit. And then the naked lady part means you're going someplace to, you know, try them on. But usually, you know, it's someplace away from the rest of the group. So that's a lot of fun. Also, I'm going to kind of tout Silverton because it's a great little community already, but that's where I live and that's where I've participated in some of these things. But we've also, in March for the last 3 or 4 years, the first weekend we've had a Seedy Saturday where people have brought all sorts of seeds that they've saved from their previous year's gardening and harvests, and they swap them so they can increase the diversity of this year's garden. And also, there are just a lot of free seeds available there that some seed companies will bring their last year's seeds to things like this, and really all the seeds you could ever want are right there at Seedy Saturday. Just checking around online is a great way to connect with different ways to trade and barter. Another favorite of mine is Yerdle, Yerdle. And it's an app that you can use if you have the operating system, like an iPhone, iPad. It allows you to trade items with people and exchange credits for each of those. So you start out by getting 250 credits in the bank on your phone. You can see there you've got 250 credits. And then you just start browsing all this stuff that people have. And you can kind of bid on it and say, I'll give you 40 credits for that. People might ask for a minimum bid, or they might give a maximum get it now bid, so you can trade things around. And I've given away about a dozen things so far, and I've gotten a little over a dozen, and my goal now is to actually have the number reverse so that I am getting rid of more things than I'm getting off of it. But I've got books for my kids, I've gotten jewelry, I've gotten clothes, I gave away a crock pot, I gave away a baby sling, just all sorts of things that I've rummaged around. And it's a fun way to connect with people all over the place. I've mailed things off to all around the country. And this app has a flat rate shipping, so the person who gets the item will pay a flat rate of either $2, $3, or $4, depending on the size of the item. Of course, there's some limitations. But then you can also just arrange to go pick something up if the person is just in your neighborhood or nearby. So that's a really fun app. I also found websites that can help you swap specifically fashions and makeup, swapstyle.com. There's a car sharing app called getaround.com where you can post your car and people can rent it by the hour or the day. So times that you know your car's not being used. And then through that site, also, they take care of the insurance and liability on the car while it's being used for that purpose. There's home exchange, swapping vacation homes. And Airbnb is another one where you can swap. And here was a new one to me, and one of my personal favorites was called Leftover Swap. So if you're sitting down at the pizzeria and you have two pieces of pizza left in your pie and you don't want to deal with the leftovers, you can just snap a picture of it and post it. And if someone around the corner is looking to see what free food is nearby, they can swing by and pick up those two pieces of pizza before you even leave the restaurant. So, many other things too, even if you've just made a whole bunch of chili at home and you half the batch, you know, didn't get eaten, you can take a picture of your chili and send it out there. So one thing before we go on, we're almost ready for our interview here with Larice. I would recommend this article on shareable.com if you're really going to be thinking about doing a lot of bartering and trading. And it's called Barter, Give and Get Stuff. It's the name of the article. And it really delves into the regulations on bartering as far as taxable income and what you have to report. And it's not straightforward by any means, but it will give you a pretty good insight about to what level of bartering and trading you're doing, at what point you should probably think about getting some financial help with your taxes on that as well. So that's shareable.com, and the article is Barter, Give and Get Stuff. And with that, I'd like to welcome Larice Riddle. Am I saying your last name right?
Good.
Oh, wonderful. And is her mic up, Irma? Oh, there we go. Okay, now I should be able to hear her voice too. So Larice is, I connected with her another Facebook page. I got clued in by somebody that there was this great page called Cherry City Food Swappers, and I checked it out, and it looked like a group. I think actually it was Pringle Creek Community. You had a
Probably.
Swap at Pringle Creek Community, which is another great resource that we'll be getting to have here on the show in the future. And so it piqued my interest. I wanted to know more about it. I went to the Facebook page, and it looked like it was a group that whenever there seemed to be enough interest in doing a swap,
correct,
we have food swaps.
Correct.
So, Larice, thank you so much for coming down. I really appreciate you taking the time out today to come fill us in on how this all works and maybe get people excited to come to your next swap.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
So can you kind of give a general background of food swapping? And you can kind of tell the story of how you became the organizer of this group, as, you know, you were kind of filling me in a little bit on that. But anything you know more about the larger movement of swapping food?
Well, I didn't look into the history of it until you'd asked me to be on the show. My friend Barb and I went to a raw cooking class, and the gal there invited us to a food swap outside of the Salem area. It was called Valley Heritage. And we had so much fun, but we wanted to have it in town, in Salem. Mm-hmm. And so we did some online searching, and we found the Facebook page, Cherry City Food Swappers. And there was actually a post from the current admin who didn't have time to organize them anymore, name's Emily, and wanted to know if anybody wanted to take over. And so Barb and I decided to take it over. And that was in January of 2013.
Okay.
And then we just kind of did a little bit more research on actually how to have a food swap. And we found the National Food Swap Network, I believe the name of it is. They have a great Facebook page. And they say that the modern food swapping came about in 2010.
Oh,
so
wow.
Really not that long ago. But
maybe as an official event.
Maybe. Yeah. And that's back on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure it's been going on for a lot longer than that.
Well, kitchen to kitchen, for sure.
Correct.
And, other, I'm so sure, smaller groups that are organized around other things, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your group has been just active. You took it over in 2013. Had it been, how long had it been going?
I don't know. I tried to look that up because we just kind of jumped in with both feet and didn't really look at why and when it started. Mm-hmm. It was just somebody who was overwhelmed and didn't have time to do it. So,
About how many people have you had participating at the last few?
I think the last one we had, I think, close to 12 or 15 people.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good key number, I'm sure, to make it.
It really
viable.
Depends on the time, what people have, the season. We've tried to find the right times to have them. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I usually just post on Facebook, is anyone interested? What day's good? I mean, just put it out there. There's a couple hundred people on there. So
what kinds of foods are usually swapped at an event?
A large variety. The bigger, the better. Mm-hmm. I know, kefir water, coconut kefir, coconut milk kefir, jams, jellies, pickles, tuna, apples, any from the garden. We had a great one that had somebody brought leftovers from their garden. They had corn and tomatoes, and it was just delish.
Nice.
People bring cookies, baked goods.
Baked stuff.
So quite a large variety. Anything that's homemade, homegrown, or foraged.
Okay.
We've had eggs. We've had sausage.
Is there any kind of minimum amount if people were thinking of participating? What should they consider? Well, this is worth going and seeing what I can trade.
Right. It's really up to them, but they want to bring something that has a value between $5 and $10 so that it's all about the same. Mm-hmm. And we recommend at least 10.
Okay.
But I've brought up to 20. I mean, you can bring less. You just have less to trade.
Right. Okay.
And usually that's a problem because there's more things you want to trade for and you don't have enough stuff.
And so by the value of $5 to $10, you mean for in the individual
each item
thing or maybe a little lot of items. So let's say I was bringing my little pints of jam. I probably wouldn't sell one for $5. But
Well, depending on the kind of jam. Some jams, the ingredients are going to be a little bit harder to find.
That's true. So how often do the swaps occur? I guess you kind of mentioned before. How many have you had since you took it over in January?
Oh,
13?
Gosh. I think we've had four or five.
Okay.
We try and have between three and four in a year. We're kind of I'm behind the gun this year.
A little less than once a season on average, it sounds like.
Yeah. Give people time to forage and get things made.
Is it more popular, you think, like around the summer when there's this bounty summer fall?
I think fall has actually been bigger. October, November seems to be the bigger one.
People have put their harvest by.
They've canned everything. And
Cool. So when is the next swap?
Sunday, July 13th. And it's at 2 o'clock, and it's going to be at the Life Source Community Center.
Oh, okay. Is that at the Life Source?
It's right next. Itself? It's next to the Life Source. Okay. There's a little mini mall, and they have a community center that's next to that you can go in.
Another room in the mall, or is it another building separate from the mall? Just so people,
it's in the mini mall next to Life Source.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So, Do you know if there are any regulations around food swapping and sharing your food? If you don't, that's okay. I didn't find anything specific looking around. And
I haven't. I guess it's don't ask, don't tell.
Well, my guess is when you're not offering things.
We're not selling anything.
Right, we're not
selling
to the public. Mm-hmm.
So when they sign in, they do sign a tiny little couple sentences that say,
eat all the food on your own.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
All right. I'm wondering, are there any things that people shouldn't bring? You kind of gave us those general categories. Are there any items within those categories that you would not recommend? Or is pretty much if you can think
not
of it?
Not that
and
I
it
can
falls
think of.
There?
Yeah. I mean, your creativity is limitless.
I was mentioning earlier that one of my favorite homemade things to make is mayonnaise. Once I started making it, and you kind of tweak it until it's just perfect to your taste and it's so fresh and yummy. I was thinking, I wonder if other people would want to try someone else's mayonnaise because you kind of envision mayo as being kind of on the more risky side of things.
I know I wouldn't.
There's probably some food safety people out there cringing at the thought, but it wouldn't be a no-no.
No.
If I decided, let's see who else might want to try this. I'll make it this morning, bring it in my cooler and see.
Absolutely. I'd trade for it.
So what is the best thing you've ever gotten in a swap?
A few things. I'd say I'd have to narrow it down to three. One was the fermented coconut milk, kind of a kefir.
Yeah.
Canned tuna.
Yum.
And pickles. Mm-hmm. Homemade pickles.
I have someone who just gave me some pickles as a gift, but they're kind of in the Portland area where doing something small but perfectly as you can is becoming all the rage. But she made some pickles that had lemongrass in one. They were like bread and butter pickles, but they were spicy with lemongrass flavor.
Oh,
I mean,
yum.
There's just so many things she could do. So I'd imagine she'd get a pretty good.
Oh, yeah, that
especially,
would be a good one.
So do people sometimes like offer some samples of what they have to swap so people.
Correct. Yeah. If you have items that can be easily sampled, tuna usually isn't.
It's, right.
Tuna probably has been the most popular
swap
I've been to.
Yeah, but people know what tuna
exactly
is. But you're making a special jam or something and you open one jar of it and.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they have little spoons and you can walk. That's part of the process when you sign up and you go around. And
speaking of that, we haven't gone yet. Can you take some time now to kind of walk everybody through how this works? What happens when you come in? How long does it take? What are the steps you go through to do a swap?
Right. So we have a basic sign up, and then we have just a very small disclaimer that we ask people to sign that says, you're on your own. And then you pick your spot and you set up your wares.
Mm-hmm.
We have little sheets, little flyers with that you put your name, what you're swapping, maybe if there's ingredients, you add that. So each different item, you would have a little description.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a listing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on there. And everybody has that at their table. And then you spend some time and you walk around and you sample, you ask questions, how did you make this? Where did you get this? And then you start writing down what you want to trade for.
Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted some pickles and I had some mayo I wanted to trade for it, I would go over to the gal with her pickles and I would write my name on there and what I'm willing to trade for.
Oh, okay. So then the person who brought the item scans down to see what they want to get. And chooses those.
Correct. So you could have, five jars of tuna and you have six people on there.
Uh-huh.
But one wants to trade mayo. One wants to trade some jam. And so he's like, I want the mayo but not the jam.
Okay. So you just, after you put your name down, you just cross your fingers that.
Right. That's right. Sometimes it can be a mad dash.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So after you've done all that, then you basically do the swap.
Uh-huh.
And you either carry your stuff around and you quickly try and trade or you wait for someone to come to you. Everybody has their own little style.
So then how long is the process from beginning to end, walking in and signing up to?
It depends on how many people. If you've got, 5, 8, 10 people, it really doesn't take that long.
Mm-hmm.
It can take just under an hour.
Okay.
But if it's bigger, 15, 20 people, it can take an hour and a half to 2 hours.
So then you'd probably a lot more time for the walking around and.
That's probably the most. The swapping part's probably the least amount of time.
That's got to be some kind of like roller derby, though, right?
We're polite.
No elbowing.
That's right.
All the rules are written down there. And Can you go over one more time the location, time?
Sure. Yeah. Okay. So it's Sunday, July 13th at 2 o'clock, and it's at the Life Source Community Room. And if you have problems finding the community room, you just pop into the store and they'll direct you over there.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to hopefully be there, maybe with some fresh picked blueberries. Yeah, maybe with maybe with some mayo. yeah, my daughter doesn't like it. She likes it after I'm done making mayo, but I have to run the food processor for like a solid 5 minutes. So it's a pretty noisy process. So to make enough, and that's just, you know, one egg equals about a cup of mayo when you're
done. Right.
So I'd have to run, and you can only do one batch like that at a time to make it consistent. Yeah, we could have some noise going on in my house if I decide to swap mayo. I'm curious as to whether there's been any other connections made between people. Like once the swaps are over, have there been people who kind of stay connected in other ways? Have you seen any kind of friendships form, or are there like groups of friends that are already maybe together?
Well, I think both. I think that there's friends that come together. I know when Barb and I went to our first one, we went together because we really didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It was a little like, what we're bringing up to snuff? Right. Is anyone going to like it? You know, you feel like you're in school again, and is our food popular? So I think there's been some connections with a farmer that came who has pigs.
Oh.
So I think there may have somebody that hooked up after that.
To get a regular regular pork source.
Yeah.
And, there was one other thing I was going to ask you, but now it's slipping my mind. Well, I'm hoping I can make it. I really look forward to participating in that process, because any time that waste reduction activities also kind of build community and connect people together, it just warms my heart.
Yeah.
And I really thank you for kind of stepping up when there was a little a void there to kind of keep it going. And I know it can be kind of tiring and
It's fun. But I just unfortunately haven't had a food swap yet this year, so we'll make up for it in July.
All right. Yes, I look forward to seeing what I can get. So Irma and Terry, are you guys in? Are you
see
you coming to the swap? Well, our show is just a little bit short today, but I think we've just wrung all the great information we could out of Larice. And since all of you listeners have been very patient with us while we took away your Blues Fest for a little while, I hope that now you'll go back and turn up the radio in your kitchen and make all sorts of great things while you're listening to the Blues Fest this weekend. Freeze it, can it, whatever you need to do, so that you'll come to that food swap and find a great way to connect with your community, reduce waste by trading things that you have for other things instead of going to the store and buying more stuff and more packaging that you have to recycle. This is a great community resource. I'd also like to invite you to join us again in 2 weeks on Thursday, July 17th. My guest will be Todd Irvine, who's with the Mid-Valley Garbage and Recycling Association, and he's going to delve into everything about curbside recycling, and I know everyone's just been waiting, so I want you to start thinking about questions that you might want to email me ahead of time that I could ask Todd if you've got any questions about what goes in your curbside recycling, why. But he's going to go through the whole process with us from your curb to the market, basically, and why things are recyclable, why they're not, what the issues are, and feel free. So to connect with me with your questions, you need to email me at environmentalservices, all one word, at co.marion.or.us, and I invite you to come visit us on our Facebook page and our YouTube channel as well. And I wish you all a great afternoon of happy Blues Fest listening.